We have an awesome treat today. I don't even know how many years. It's over 15 years. How old is Samuel? Well, it's close to 20 years then, right? Because he wasn't around. We got a call at the church office one day, and this man with a strong accent still has one. We can understand it now, though. He said, "I was looking in the phone book for a church, and yours popped off the page, and the Lord said, you must go here." Now, we had one line that said Bread of Life and our phone number. All these other churches had big ads, and this one line popped off the page. And he said, "So I am at 34th and Moeller Road. How long will it take me to walk there?" So he got our attention. We had to go pick him up. But you know what? I've been so excited about Sunday being with us. Today, I was driving at 30th and Raceway, and there was a gentleman with his Bible walking. And I stopped and picked him up, and he was walking to church. And he was walking to the Baptist church right across the street. And I thought, that has to be God. I've not seen any other man walking down the street or willing to walk down the street to church other than my friend Sunday Robert. And I do want to say, we could go years, and we have gone years without communicating, but I know my friend Sunday is always there if I need him. He's that kind of friend. He's a man that needs to be honored. So Sunday, would you come up, and I'd like to stand and welcome Pastor Sunday Robert, Sunday J. Robert, as a Father, we come to you today as friends. Friends of yours, because you call us, God, you call us friends. But as friends and brothers in the kingdom of God. And I pray for this man that a fresh anointing would fall on him and that he would speak the words that we need to hear today. So bless him. Bless his family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, sir. I want to thank Pastor Bill and Katrina and the rest of the elders. I've not seen you for a long time. And also all of you. There are a few people I know that, is that John right there? Okay, good. And I remember years ago, when I came, my dear friend at the back, I tried to learn his name. So I kind of thought, well, I'll just kind of use his last name because I know Cinderella. So Shindrella. So that's kind of how I learned it. But everybody is still the same. Everybody is pretty much the same. When I came, Doug Harper, you know, the normal hug, I was thinking he has changed, but he hasn't. He wants to break my back. But it was a hug that actually impacted a lot in my life. I never forget that. And over the years, over the decades, don't let me mention years, because I was able to put something together that just gave me some memories to bless you, some remembrance, and things that really changed my life altogether. There is no way we can talk about our existence in this world, not even in this country, myself and my family. There is no way we can talk about history of our life without having to do with Bread of Life. I'm talking about not in America, but our whole entire life. And every time, I can tell you that we missed fellowshipping here. But the life itself is a cycle that is going to end with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so wherever it takes you, just be prayerful. And sometimes, some way or the other, just like the interstate, the 465, it may take you right back around. So just watch out. It may take you just right back around as long as you are committed and faithful to God. And I want to tell you that I and my family, we miss our home. We miss our home so much. And God has done so many things in our lives in the past few years that is giving us the opportunity to be open now to kind of reach out to. We're not currently pastoring, you know. And pastoring itself was probably a stretch for us. I don't think that we were supposed to do a lot of things. I just feel like God will bring you right back to where you're supposed to be. And I believe our job is to encourage and to, motivate ministries and people that are changing people's life in this world. So I don't want to go all the way around, but there was this song that was sung by towards the last that talked about how God is faithful. Really, God has been very, very faithful. And I would encourage you, please, to get ready to just sing that, please. And just let us open our heart. I don't have anything to tell you today other than a blessing, other than a testimony, other than testimonies that will heal. I have seen that. In fact, right there when the song was going on, tears was rolling in my eyes, because really I have seen the faithfulness of God. And everyone in this room, I can assure you, you are in His will, and you will continue to see His faithfulness. Years and years when I came in, I joined a prayer team. I think there is a clip on that there, comprising our prayer leader right there, and five other women. I think I was the only man in the prayer team. 1998. You saw the clip somewhere? Yeah, it's coming. It should come up. And I was able to pick up these photos from all of the history. I don't even know. I know I kept stuff a lot. You know, I kind of keep stuff, but I lost quite some of the ones that I really wanted to get. But at least I was able to put some things together. I was able to put about 53 of them together. That kind of talks about, speaks for itself. And but this morning, I would be very glad to talk to you about the benefits of kindness. And when I came, I came to this fellowship in February of 1998. And you can see, you know, IK was 2 years old, barely 2 years old when we came in, when you guys came in. And he's now, stand up, let us see you, taller than myself. And the Lord has been faithful to us, but it's not really without the blessings that the first seed that we had, and the first grooming and the first mentoring. You can never forget that. And people who do forget, I don't know what to say about them. But you can never, ever forget the first family that groomed you, that raised you, that supported you. I mean, time will not allow me to tell you all of the stories of how I was blessed by this fellowship. Senior Pastor Bill and the elders of Bread of Life and every members of Bread of Life. And I see this as a family. This is a true family that stays together. And I tell you what, there is no way out. There's no way we can move our life without being in fellowship with you. There's no way. And God has given us that, like I said, God has given us that opportunity recently that was very tough for because of running back and forth, all activities that we put in our hands. But now, by the grace of God, you will see us more frequently than you have seen us before, because this is our house. This is our house. And I know those photos are... Those photos, they're going to, yes. And, you know, I've missed quite a number of people. You know, we missed quite a few to us because God took them home. It's not very easy to take those things. People who are so dearly and who are so wonderful, who serve God with their hearts. You know, which included but not limited to my friend Adam, you know, and I still ask God questions about that, and I'm just being honest to you, about a gentleman who loves God to death and who serves God with his heart, and there are things I have lost my sister years ago. That I love so dearly, and I still ask God questions about that. There's nothing wrong doing that. There's nothing wrong doing that. Pour it out to God. You know, and I still do. I still do have some questions that I have not received answers for. But you know, and God understands that. But you know, God remains God. And he remains faithful. He does whatever he wants. Not to our detriment. Most of the time we think it's to our detriment, but some of these things I've understood, getting mature in the faith, that they were really not to our detriment. Those things are things that God's will. The temptation of Job was not to Job's detriment. You know, things that we go through in this life, and that's why I was trying to, when I came, I had my family still home when I came. And the reason for that was that I don't think we can afford when all of us just get in the thing here. And we just thought, okay, you go and set up the pace and then we can come along. But little did I know that once you cut off and you didn't get the papers, you have to, it's like you are refiling again for your family. And with that circumstance, most people will never get together. I mean, they never get things together. But it was true Bread of Life Fellowship. In fact, I was going to bring those papers to prove to you. It was true Bread of Life that I was able to fulfill that with other things that were needed to actually fulfill that. Even though I came through a platform where myself and my family are eligible to move, but because we didn't do that, I have to refile like for them. So, but 6 months after, with the help of the Bread of Life Church and support and prayers, we were able to get those everything that is needed to be done, and that is not without the help of the leadership and other members of this fellowship. And I don't know anybody that can ever do that. I don't know anyone that can do that. And I'm here to tell you honestly, that's the truth. You are our family. And we should tell ourselves the truth. Shortly after the filing was completed, my family was granted visas. And they came back in. And I tell you what, the cost of transportation to the very penny. I can remember we were looking for 4,400 and we have 4,501 from members and family and leadership of Bread of Life Church. Nobody can do that. I've not seen anybody done that. I've not seen anybody replicated that to us. I'm here to tell you there is a benefit of being kind. There's benefit. We might be going through things and that, but there is a huge benefit of being kind. And since after that, we've had so many things, so many blessings, so many support, so many, you know. And time will not permit me. Now, if I have all of this time, if I have 2-3 hours, you know, actually that would not be enough, Bill. 2-3 hours will not be enough for me to tell you the story of this, our experience and what we've blessed. Can I tell you, can I start a story from when each family, we'll have to have a calendar of, okay, which family are we going this week, this Sunday, which family are we going to their house this Sunday, and we're going to eat and we're going to stay there and have fun, play around, do everything. So we had to... decide, you know, we have to say, okay, we have kids and families, okay, where are we going this Sunday? Where are we going next Sunday? It was all blessed, and we, you know, just everyone took us. We don't have no, you spoiled us, pretty much is what I'm saying. Because when we mingle with other folks around in other areas, in other sections, in other facilities, I mean, we couldn't catch up. You know, we couldn't get what we got from anywhere. That's the honest truth. And that's the reason why we can never forget that. And and then when my family came, once very important thing that I've never seen much. When they came to the airport, and there might be one or two clips. Oh, this is one of the clips right there, where everybody was in the airport. That's him right there, right? Yeah. You like that? You probably didn't know that photo was taken of you. Yeah, everyone was in the airport. Welcomes. Robert is his family. And the reception was serious. I mean, there was traffic in the airport from Bread of Life Church to welcome these people that are coming on board, that are coming into the country. That's why I tried to. This is one of it. This is actually IK right there. Stand up. Let them see you. That's him right there. And he was running towards me to greet me right there. That was when we took the picture. Bread of Life was there. Well, I don't want to take all of the time. I wish I do, but like I said, we're not going to be far from here. It's the route I was taking. We've moved through all the routes, and the Lord is, you know, pointing us. We do fellowship with a family at the west side, because there was a session that the Lord wanted us to send forth one of the pastors that we've mentored for years to just take everything and carry on with the work of God while we seek the Lord to find out what we're supposed to be doing. Maybe ministry, maybe missions, maybe coordinating. So I'm working with African pastors in the city just to bring them together and get fellowship and get whatever they're doing and just encourage them. So I will definitely be available by the grace of God to fellowship with the family that I want whenever I want to do that. And I thank God for the opportunity because I've always wanted to be around. It's just like so many things in your hands that moves you back and forth, in and out, down, forth, all over the place. Before you know it, time is running fast. Doesn't wait for anyone. So I give God thanks again for the opportunity to be able to come back and fellowship with my family. The benefit of kindness. I wanted to state to you that human beings who give kindness to people are representing God, actually. And it's all over the scripture. You represent God. You represent the image and character of God. Because God, the fullness of kindness is in the being of God. It's a fullness of kindness. And one of my favorite scriptures in the scripture is in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, which says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. You know, I remember, I don't know if Pastor remembers that, but one time when I just came in, I worked two jobs one time. And I had collected checks from those jobs, and the Lord said, take the check to the church. It's a long time ago. I don't know if he still remembers. And I'm like, so I heard that because, of course, I don't have anything. I mean, it's still not enough. So what do I have to lose? So I took that, and it was Pastor Bill was like, no, that's impossible. We're not accepting such stuff. We are supposed to help you. You just came around and you brought all your income. You know, you can do that. And I told him, I said, sir, you know, I know God asked me to do that. And there was a time that we were raising some offering to help some people in the church, outside the church, maybe children, something. There was a time we were raising offering to help those other folks. You know, and Pastor said, no, I'm not going to accept yours. Like, you're going to make me, like, you're going to destroy my life or what? Why is mine going to be singled out? Because, you know, that's all you got. You don't have nothing. You just came. So it was a battle. It was a battle. You know, and that's how kind, you know, he is being. And that's all we have seen. Acts 10:30 says, more blessed to give than to receive. And that's absolutely what this fellowship has done over the decades that I know it. I even hear about Bread of Life activities outside with other churches I connect with, some way or the other, like New Wineskin Ministries. You know, many churches out there, they know Bread of Life Church for the same reasons. What is that? There are homeless outreaches out there that know Bread of Life very well, very, very well, you know. And it's just you know, a blessing to be a part of this house and this family. I want to clear something. A lot of Christians think that because they live right and they pay their tithes and they give and they are generous you know, they work for God and do all the worship and do all this stuff and pray that they can never have any problem. And that's a mentality that's been taught in so many places, that if you're a child of God, you can never be sick, you can never lose a loved one, you can never be poor, you can never lack money to do what you want to do. Because, you know, if you're a true child of God, you should never have any problem with any of those things. And that's actually a lie from hell. That's actually a big lie from hell. We know Timothy, how he grew with the God and has the stomach issues. And there was no scripture that tells us that that was taken away. That doesn't mean that we're delaying the power of miracles and healing from God. But these are beloved people. And God kept them and let them leave and let them do things that they have to do and they took them away at the right time. There are other stories, stories in the scripture that tells us that, we would go through that thing because we're here on earth. Earth is different from when we get to him. When we get to fellowship with him, it's a different story. Nobody can think about anything. You won't think about whether you're sick or you're hurt or you're tired or you don't have a job. You can't think about all of those stuff anymore, forever. But right here, that's what we are consumed with. We are around, we're surrounded with all of kind of things. And we are the kingdom of God here. And the Lord, this kingdom of God is sitting in our heart, but we are going to go through all of this stuff. And you know one of the reasons that we go through stuff also? The devil, the enemy of God. The Bible says in the book of John chapter 10 verse 10, it says, he is a stealer. He comes to steal and to kill and to destroy God's people. Because he's an enemy of God. So God's people is his enemy. You know how they do the math? If you the enemy of God and you are a friend of God, then that's enemy of God is your enemy as well. And the devil plays a serious role in trying to destroy and steal and kill the life of the people of God. But my other favorite scripture is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And I would want us to read that. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. And then we go to the main scripture to round up this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13. I have a pastor that used to say, if you are there, say amen. He just wants to know that everybody is there. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. And I read, I'm reading from King James, by the way. There hath no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. So which means that there is nothing that is wrong with you on this earth. There's nothing that strikes you. There's nothing that comes against you that is new. Somebody has had that encounter before. Somebody has experienced that situation before. Sometimes, somehow. That's what the scripture is telling us. That's one of my favorites. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you may be able. You better underline that. Because some people may be able to withstand some tragic situation, and some people may not be. Some people may be able to withstand some things to a certain day or two, and others may not be able to withstand it for 1 hour. Some people may be able to bear some challenges in life for 10 years, and others may only handle that for 1 year. Some people may be able to handle disrupted marriage for only a few months, and others may be able to manage it for another 10 years. So that's what he's saying here, is that God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you can be able to bear. So I was going like, so he left me alone in this. I don't know if that seems like you, but I've seen myself saying, God, where are you? I'm suffering. And is it a new thing? No, it's not. John did the same thing. John the Baptist, who said, here, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He actually explained and he actually proclaimed the power of Jesus Christ to everybody. And he saw everything. He understood what Jesus was here to do. But yet, at a certain time, John questioned whether Jesus was actually having the kind of power that he thought he had. I don't know about you, but I've been in that place before. Actually, was in that place recently when my mother died last year in August. I was in that place years ago when my sister died. And I was like, God, where are you? I serve you. You know, I do everything. I give everything for you. I talk to people about you. I take my life, I take risk traveling overseas, across oceans, all over the place, every year. Where are you in this? And have you been in a place where you prayed and fasted and guided everybody in the world to pray and fast for certain circumstances, and yet nothing happened? I have been there. I know most of you in this room have been there too. You have been there. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able. But with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Oh, you didn't get that part. Because he didn't say that he's going to remove it. He's just saying that he's going to make a way for you to bear it. So you're still in that temptation. You're still in that challenge. He's just giving you the comfort and peace to be able to handle it. Yeah, when we read that scripture, we think, oh, yeah, he's going to take it away. Oh, yeah, he's going to give us this. Oh, yeah, he's going to give us that, right? But he's saying that no. And I said, really? This is... It's not been too long ago that I read that way, that I understood that. And the only way that I understood that was the Holy Spirit explained that to me. He said, I've been with you all this while. I've been with you all this while. When you walk in the valley of the shadow of death. When you walk in the through the valley of the shadow of death, he didn't say, I will take you out of it. He said, I will do what? Jesus said to us, he said, if you truly worship me, or you truly serve me, this church truly serves God. I can tell you that. It's true. I've proven that. I proved that for at least 7 years. And I'm proving it over and over again, even as I'm outside. I'm hearing the reports. I'm hearing things outside. This church believes in the true God and serves the true God in truth and in spirit. And Jesus says, if you do what I do, if you stand for me, if you do what I ask you to do, just like I suffered. Oh, we don't want to hear that, do we? That is not good for us, don't we? That's not good. Just like he said, if the true Christians who serve him in truth and in spirit, he said in the world, it's like, don't let us forget that. Don't let us allow all of these things in the world take away the word of God from us. It's just giving us an idea. It's giving us information so we don't get too frustrated when these things happen. He gives us information ahead of time. He said, if you do my will in the way I ask you to do it, you will suffer the same way I suffered. And you know what? That happened in the life of Peter. I mean, in those days, they do that. We're not facing that. America is been blessed with no violence, faith. No violence. Nobody comes against you. Nobody comes in the door and just put gun on the air and start shooting everybody. Extremists, Islamists, you know, all of those stuff. Boko Harams, all of the stories. But when we face these challenges, remember these words. Remember that the Bible says, he that standeth, let him take heed, lest he falls. But with the temptation also make a way to escape. I didn't read that way before. I thought, okay, now I'm being challenged. The Holy Ghost is there. God is there. Bring a bomb. Just bomb everybody out of it and let me just come out. That was my thought. That's the way I thought about it until few years ago. I say, you didn't understand the context of this. You didn't read it well. He will make a way for you to escape. So what does escape mean? Escape doesn't mean that you have the, you going, yes, I made it. You know, I beat you. Escape means, oops. That's what escape means. That's what escape means. It means that you've been locked up somehow. Escape doesn't mean that you are in a room after you fight and you're going, you Goliath, you know, I got your head. You know, I'm going to just put you on knees here. No. Escape means that you barely saw a door open and you ran through that door and you go, oh, thank you, Lord, for getting me out of it. That's what escape means. We got to get it clear. That you may be able to bear it. Uh-oh. That's a scripture that I just really love to share. I can spend 1 hour talking about that. But I hope that the message is clear. He measures us. He's there by our side. He knows we're walking through that. He's giving us extra grace continually to carry on with life. We're not happy about many things. Everybody's focusing on that photo. That's my prayer team right there. That's them. That's them right there. Hallelujah. That was 98. I remember that. We're going to round up with this word about the benefit of kindness. And that will be in the book of Second Samuel chapter 9. There are 7 verses there. And we'll just look at that. We have scriptures in the Old Testament that talk about kindness and the benefit of it. We have scriptures in the New Testament that talk about kindness and the benefit of them. I'm looking at the Old Testament, Second Samuel chapter 9. And then I'm also going to read a verse on the book of Acts chapter 9 from verse 36. And that's actually going to probably mention some of those stories. So we see what happened in those stories. There's another story in the book of Acts chapter 10 verse 1. Acts 10 verse 1. So first of all, we're looking at the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. We got it on the... Oh, okay. Well, I was thinking I should just sit down so we can kind of look and breathe in the photos, because there's a lot in that photos. There's a lot in there that tells the story of this fellowship. And you can just see it. By seeing it, you can just tell what this church is all about. You know, and it took me, I think I was awake till 1 a.m. yesterday because I was all over the place during the week. And I said, I won't come here without putting that together. So I was at FedEx Kinko's up till 1 a.m. this morning just to make sure I have those scanned, each of them. And then put them in the CD and then transcribe them into the flash drive that we have. Tango for technology, American technology, which I learned so much from. I'm now like close to a guru in that. But I was nothing before when I came here. I didn't know nothing at all. So I have a lot to be thankful for the United States of America, and specifically for Bread of Life Church fellowship here. And I didn't see the baptistry. Oh, yeah, it's still there. The baptistry is still there. Good. Ken used to do, does he still do that? I heard him do that today. I heard him do that. You know, I did that thing for 2 years before I quit. I did that thing for 2 years, like, because Ken is so close, my friend. He's my friend. I copied that from him, and I kept doing it. My wife goes, what is that? When you stay around people for so long, guess what? You start doing what they do. I just remember that I heard him do that like a couple times. I'm like, he hasn't quit doing that. Wow. It is wonderful people, wonderful people, wonderful people. All right, so I'm going to read from verse 1. I mean, just a few of those verses. And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, are you Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan has yet a son which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he's in the house of Micaiah, the son of Amiel, in Lodebar. Then king sent and fetched him out of the house of Micaiah, the son of Amiel, from Lodebar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan's thy father's sake. And I will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. I'll stop right there. This is a story of God. This is a story of God talking about kindness. David recalled the blessings and the kindness that Jonathan showed him when he was in trouble, when he was in trouble, when there was serious challenge between him and Saul. And you know that one of the things that David displayed that proved David to be different from any other king is the fact that he found his enemy and did not slay him. Like two or three times, according to the scripture, he found him in a cave there, and all of his armor bearers wanted to slay him. And he said, if you anyone touch him, you are going to be the one dying. And you know, it's difficult for us to show kindness to our enemies. It's very hard when the scripture even says we should do what? We should love our enemies. Man, how can you love someone? Especially when you talk about enemies, we have to clarify what we mean by that. I mean, I'd rather rain fire on my enemies, the coals of fire on their head. And when you talk about enemies, you better define what you mean by enemies. Enemies to us is anyone, physical, spiritual, operating in the den or operating in covens or operating anywhere that is trying to hinder my life physically and try to kill me, take my life from me. That's an enemy. And we see those in the scriptures. We see people coming, the Amalekites. We saw the people came to steal David's belongings and everything and took them away, and how David went back and avenged. You know, those, it's talking about enemies. But Jesus said, love your enemies. I said, what a statement is that? What a dispensation is that? I thought we should not like them. Oh, yeah. And we still don't like them. Some way or the other, even though God says we should. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but I still tell God, I say, oh, let God arise and let my enemies be bombed. I still say that because, you know, when you get some situation when things are so hard and you know that this is something, I mean, things happen in our lives where you can tell there's something going on with this. There's some arrangements. There's some kind of plan that is hindering me. You know, I'm supposed to be here, but I'm being here for so long. But in my spirit, I know I'm supposed to be there. And something is wrong. There's some arrangement that is wrong. But sometimes we may be wrong ourselves. It could be us. It could be the way we handle things. It could be the choices we make that is responsible for some of the things we're facing. And sometimes we have to be very mature and be very discerning and very, very prayerful before we start looking at that being responsible rather than you being responsible. I've learned that too. I'm learning. We're learning these things. And sometimes we make some choices and we have consequences of those choices. And that's it. We just have to bear those consequences and ask God to come into it. And when we bring God in it, that's when things get a little better. You know, God can straighten things out and make things better than it's supposed to be. Sometimes maybe reduce the consequences. Or sometimes give us more grace to bear the consequences. You know, people get themselves in so many troubles when they come to Christ. They want Jesus to take. I mean, it's sometimes, well, he helps. I mean, you've seen different cases. He comes through, but sometimes you just have to bear the consequence of what you've chosen in life, even as a child of God. Can you get me some handkerchief right now? Do I have it? Yeah, I have it. Sorry. And thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. So he showed kindness because Jonathan showed him the kindness. That's the story I was telling before I went all over the place. And David remembered that. I mean, you know all of the arrow story. If I shoot the arrow past that, then, you know, then that means that my dad has something. You know the story. And eventually David, you know, was spared. And, you know, when you look at the things we face these days and the things some of us have gone through in life, I mean, you won't be kind. It doesn't make you feel like being kind except we have the Spirit of God in us fully. And some of us, we have the Spirit of God in us, is in and out. When there's war, then the Spirit of God is out, and then you can fight the war yourself. When there's joy and things are good, the Spirit of God can remain that time. And we kind of swap it back and forth, depending on the circumstance. And some of us, we do that. A lot of us who are really good believers, we do this. But David had, you know the situation with Saul. How many times? Three times? I mean, you would not want to have nothing to do with that person ever. I mean, three times. So he's insane and all of this and what is going on? Why, you know, you want to stay away from that person. And you want to really maybe stop that person from hurting others. Is that not what we do? Somebody is a little dangerous, the government handles them. And say, hey, you are not going to be loose because you are a dangerous person. You can afflict other people with these demons that you have, this murder spirit that you have. And so, but David spared him. But eventually, what happens is that when you leave things alone, God does the justice for himself. And that's what we're learning. When you leave things alone, God does the justice at the right time. When it was time, Saul has to. God took care of that. And many times we try to fight and we try to put things ourselves. I'm not exonerating myself from this. We do that. And we have all of these gifts. We have all of these blessings of God. We have all of this stuff. But when reality strikes, yes, we do. We do think within ourselves. We do certain things because of the impact it's creating in our life. The way we're feeling so uncomfortable with this. And so we try to figure a way out for it. Where am I going with all of this? There's a benefit. Jonathan died also. I was really sorry for that. To see how Jonathan ended like that. You know, he was so obedient and faithful to his father, except when it comes to David. That's the only time Jonathan didn't obey his father. And I was so sorry for him that he died. Very sorry. But, you know, David remembered the kindness. David remembered the kindness. You know, we go through some very hard things in life that sometimes we think we're just going to get used to this life. And before you know it, we're looking at God coming through the door and it just comes through the wall. Because that's how God does. He has amazed me many times, contrary to my imaginations and expectations. He has proven that he is God, that I cannot plug him down or tag him down to something that he has done before, because he can do something different. The same God that gave Moses a rod to throw on the big water, the Red Sea. The same God that gave him and said, it's the same God when Joshua was passing through Jordan, he has to have the priest walk through it. It wasn't a rod. I mean, he can move in different dimensions to do things that he wants to do. And we cannot say, oh, where's the rod? On River Jordan. No. And when Elisha was coming back, it was a mantle. So it's the same God that walks in different ways to make sure that his will is done in his people's lives. So he brought Mephibosheth to the palace and blessed him and remembered the kindness that Jonathan showed him during the days to be able to bless him. I am happy to also announce to you that I have the rest of my family here. This is my in-laws family, and there's Victoria. How many people know Victoria? Can you stand up? Can you stand up so they can see you? Praise God. Wonderful. That is part of the seed, part of the harvest from the seed that you planted in our lives. And there she is. She has family. She has wonderful, great kids growing. And she's blessing other people as well. And there she is. That's your seed. That's the fruit of your seed. And I see this, all this today, and I'm like, oh God, what a blessing this is. What a blessing. Consistency. I didn't know, Bill, that you kept. Though I have an idea, because Emmanuel let me know every now and then. I don't get with him all the time. The last time I traveled back last year, I was in his church. I conducted a prayer vigil. I led a prayer vigil at his church. So he, you know, we talk. And he, Bill, when you sent that money, the last one, he was actually sick. He was returning from the hospital and he has hospital bills and he has his house payment is due, you know, and it has to be God. But, you know, God used you all to do that. The right time. How can that be possible? The very right time. And he was telling me that's too much. I said, wow. The Lord will show you kindness. And all of you that drop this seed, it's not because you drop this seed, oh, so God. God already has a blessing in this fellowship, even before some of you join them. And you will have no choice but to reap part of the blessings of God from this fellowship as you participate and as you focus and as you are faithful to them, to doing what the fellowship believes in doing. There is a reward for that. In the book of Acts chapter 10, there is a story of a man named Cornelius. And Cornelius will just give and give to the things of God. He will give to the causes of God, things of God. And he did that for many, many years. And you know what happened. I mean, I'm not going to read all of those stories. But what happened was that God sent Peter. Peter wasn't interested in going to that place. And it's a long story about the whole ladder thing, but Eventually, Peter has no choice but to go there because that's what God wants to do because of the kindness that Cornelius showed the people of God, or people, generally speaking. And God sent Peter there, and Peter prayed. And God, not Peter did that, but God did that. And God visited the people, his Cornelius' people, because, you know, this encouragement that I'm sharing is God. Who am I to stay all night and put stuff together or try to do, just because of what? But it's God. Because of what you're doing and because of what you are for, God has to make things done for you. And you know, I know we have so many situations, so many things has happened, so it does happen to other Christians all over the world. All over the world, people lose family members. All over the world, things just happen. And I'm learning how to keep moving. It's tough, it's very hard. But you know, God is expecting us. Some of the things that happen to us, he gives us a lesson to learn from too. And sometimes it may not be any lesson. It may just be like, Abraham, take Isaac and just go. Sometimes it tests and sometimes it's just what happens. How do you think Mary felt when his son was killed? She was looking like that. And you have natural feelings. I mean, this is not like, oh, spiritual, the angels or something. But it hurts and it's hard. Very, very hard. But God is faithful. But God knows you. God knows you. God understands you. Everything you've not shared with him, he knows. He knows. And he's going to remain faithful to you. God will remain God. And he's going to remain faithful to you. He will remain faithful to you. There's another story in the book of Acts chapter 9 from verse 36. It's a story about a lady called Tabitha. And Tabitha would give, and Tabitha would spread, and Tabitha would do everything, give everything she has, put people in her place, set up food pantry, get people come. People just swarm like bees and come. And they eat, and they refresh, and she clothes them. And she does all of those things. One day, Tabitha was sick, and she died. Bible says, but God is faithful. Okay. Sometimes my death, I ask God, I said, you raised Tabitha from the dead. Why not my dead? My family person. My this. Why not that? And there was a particular case I can assure you that I took with God. Because that's how me and God do stuff. Because this calling that I'm answering, it was a struggle. I wasn't ready to answer the call. I wasn't ready. It was a struggle for me to kind of talk about. I said, you know, I can sit out there and just do stuff and just support and just do that and do my thing. But he won't let me do that. And so when I take up things with him, it's like, okay, this thing I didn't want it in the first instance. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about if I will continue to minister. Or continue to talk about you. Let's talk about that. I do that. And is it right? Yes, you can do that. You just have to be careful how long you are stiff-necked with God. I do things like that. I challenge God. And then I get some answers. I challenge God about my mother. I got some answers. I challenge God about my sister. I got some answers. And when I get answers, satisfactory answers to me, I can tell it's the Spirit of God has to. God, if you are a true child of God and you serve God in your heart, like all of you in this room does, God is going to answer you at a certain point. God may show you a dream. He may come to you. He may minister to your heart. Why that happened? And sometimes he just gives some reasons that I go blank. I go blank. Like, is that it? That's all? He just gives some funny reasons sometimes. Sometimes some of those reasons doesn't even make sense. I'm like, is that why you allow that? And then I hear some silence. Because I talk to God. And he talks to you. You will hear his voice. You will feel him in your heart. You will hear him speak to you when you read the scriptures. You will hear him when you drive. Sometimes when you lay back by yourself thinking about all of this world, after your job, after you minister to your children, after you settle down, then you are by yourself. At that point, you start thinking about what is going on with me. And the Lord will start speaking to you. And I get those circumstances sometimes. Some are not satisfactory. Some answers, I'm wondering why. Is that all you got? Yes, I do. Is that all you got? For someone who gave up everything, is that all you got? And you know, you can talk to God like that. You can. You just have to be careful. Don't get too long. Don't be stiff-necked for too long. And whenever I get into that controversy, guess what God does? Maybe a day after or so, he will make something. He will make like a miracle or something. Like he will let me escape something or let me help somebody do something special. Like something miraculous. And then he gets my attention. And then he leaves me off. And then I can carry on, I can ride on because I get excited again. And he does that. When Paul was going to Rome, after he defended Jesus in Jerusalem, Paul was down. Paul was broken. And that night, Jesus appeared. He shows up. Whenever he knows that you are, you know, if he has a hand on you and he knows that you are derailing or something, he shows up. He comes. Even when you are like, I don't want to see you. I do that sometimes. It just depends on how your relationship with him. I do that. I don't want to hear anything. And sometimes I do like this. Because you can hear his voice. And sometimes you are so angry that you don't want to talk to him. Oh, yes. It's good. It's normal. But you can't stay there for too long. Can't stay there for too long. As I close this, I know there's been a lot of pains. There's been a lot of hurts. There's been a lot of challenges. There have been a lot of delays. It's a lot of that. It's a lot of oppression, a lot of depression, a lot of some kind of infirmity. Something just struck you from somewhere you don't know where it came from. You're dealing with that. There's some offense. There's several challenges. There are young people in school. They have some challenges. I just know that today, the Lord will inspire some hope in your heart. Some hope good enough to have you step up. Some hope good enough to help you wake up. Some hope that is good enough to help you take the next stride. The next step to move into the next level rather than being on the ground. I believe that God is releasing the hope. In fact, he's already released some. Because I prayed on that thing. I prayed on that thing. I said, Lord, that thing, let it bring the vibe of your hope. Let it bring the vibe of your comfort. Let it bring the vibe. Let it bring the rays of your blessing. Some kind of inspiration into the hearts of your people. Because what message would I have for people who are my leaders, my mentors? What message would I give you if God himself does not give you that message? I'm little to say, oh, I have something. or brag with anything. I prayed unto God. I said, God, these people that are giving the kindness that they have given, these people that are so dedicated to you, these people that are serve you all their life that never depart from you, please give them something today. Something to give them the next move. Something to give them the next jump. Something to inspire them to make the next move that they need to make. Something to stir that joy and that grace in their hearts. Something to hold on to this day in the name of Jesus. I'm going to call you back to sing that faithful thing. Please sing that faithful thing. And I like to pray. I like to pour out. You've poured to me so much. You've blessed our family so much. Hallelujah. And I just want to be used of God. I want the Holy Spirit to use me as a vessel this afternoon, this morning, as we are rounding up this message, to bless you, to give that hope, to give that next step. Something to hold on to. There are a few people in this room, maybe two or three of you. You just want something to hold on to. You are just static. You're static in the spirit. And once you get something to hold on to, you can make the next stride. You can take the next step. And I believe God is saying that there is now something to hold on to. You got something to hold on to so you can make your next step. And make your next move in the name of Jesus Christ.